1 Samuel chapter 17. We're going to look at an old story from a new way, in a couple different ways maybe, and apply a couple different lessons that maybe you haven't heard before, maybe you have. And probably you already know this is about David and Goliath. And whenever I need some encouragement, I always consider this account, and I also look to a couple of others that are my favorites. I'll be reading several passages here from the New King James Version, and we'll stop and we'll make some comments and some observations, and I'll let you know when we go back and we pick up a verse. It begins by saying that the Philistines had gathered their armies together to battle, and they were gathered at Succoth, which belongs to Judah. And this is an interesting situation from the very beginning. The Philistines had gathered at a spot that belonged to Judah. Do you know what that means? That means they were trespassing. And they had done that on purpose. These were perpetual enemies of the Israelites, and they did it for a purpose. It says in verse 2, Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together, and they encamped at the valley of Elah, and they drew up in battle array against the Philistines, and the Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and the Philistines were on the mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. So here they are, if you can see that in your mind's eye. We've got the Philistines on one side, Israel on the other side, and we've got the valley between them. Verse 4 says, a champion went out from the camp of the Philistines named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. Now the fact that it says that Goliath was a champion suggests to me this guy was not a novice at what he did. You don't get to be a champion by being a novice. So he had fought before. He was quite experienced at what he did. And the fact that it said that he was 6 cubits in a span indicates that he was 9 foot 9 inches tall. This is a big guy. Now before I started shrinking, I was a little over 6 foot tall. So 9 foot 9 inches, and we all shrink, you know that, don't you, as we get older. And I haven't measured myself lately. I feel like I'm way closer to the ground than I used to be. But anyway, 9 feet 9 inches tall. And I've been to some professional NBA basketball games. And, you know, I can't understand for the life of me why on the programs they don't list their actual height. Because some of those guys, it'll say they're 6 foot 5. And you walk along and you see eye to eye with them. Other guys, it'll say they're 6 foot 5, and I'm looking up at them. And I don't quite understand that. But 9 feet 9 inches high, that means he's almost 4 foot taller than me. That's way up there. I'd run from that guy. Verse 5, he had a bronze helmet on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. That means the coat of armor was 125 pounds. This coat of armor that he wore around him, 125 pounds. Now, I was thinking about how I could illustrate that to you, and the best thing I could think of was a bag of dog food. Now, when I lived out here in the country, I had 2 dogs, and only the best dog food for them. So I would go to Walmart and buy Old Roy dog food. You think I'm joking, don't you? I bought that expensive dog food for them before, and you know what they'd do? I'd pour that expensive dog food out there, and they'd look up at me like, I ain't eating that junk. And I'd get Old Roy, and they'd just scarf that stuff right up. And that's the truth. You think I'm joking. But that expensive stuff, they hated that. Of course, most of the time they ate what I ate. Not at the table with me or anything, but and then sometimes, then maybe. But anyway, the point is, Old Roy comes in 40-pound bags, or it used to. I don't know what it comes in anymore. But 125 pounds, that'd be like wearing 3 bags of Old Roy dog food. Now, that's a lot of weight. That and 5 pounds left over, of course. I can multiply that out. But that's a lot of weight for an armor for this guy to wear, and that's what he wore. In verse 6, it said he had bronze armor on his legs. He had a bronze javelin. He had a spear, and the staff of his spear, it says, was like a weaver's beam, and the iron spearhead weighed 600 shekels. And he had a spear, or a shield bearer that went before him. This is the guy that carried his shield. And that doesn't surprise me a bit, because all this other stuff that he had going on, it said the spearhead weighed over, if you translate that into our weight, 15 pounds. Now, I was trying to think of what I could illustrate that with. You know what a shot put is, don't you? Now, most of you ladies probably haven't thrown a shot put. You might have. But a man's shot put is 16 pounds. That's heavy. So I thought, well, some of you might not have thrown a shot put before. A bowling ball. Probably a lot of you have thrown a bowling ball, haven't you? Well, not. You know, probably don't throw bowling balls. You roll bowling balls, don't you? A lady's bowling ball is 10 to 12 pounds. A men's bowling ball is 14 to 16 pounds. I think my bowl, and I got a bowling ball somewhere, it's about 15 pounds. The heaviest bowling ball that you can have for a man is 16 pounds. That's the legal weight. This guy's spearhead was 15 pounds. So imagine the spearhead being as heavy as a bowling ball. I mean, you got your spear, and the end of it, you got a bowling ball. I mean, this is how heavy and strong this guy was to take this spear and fight this warfare that he used. Verse 8, he would stand and cry to the armies of Israel, and he'd say to them, "Why have you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and you the servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us." Now, wasn't Goliath a malevolent, loving man here? Here he was sounding like he was interested in saving all these lives. Now, do you really think he was interested in saving all these people's lives? No, I don't think so a bit. I think he was stacking the deck against them and thinking, there's not a guy over there that can beat me. And this is our way that we'll save some guys and we'll make them our servants is what we're going to do. He wasn't interested in saving any lives, maybe some Philistine lives. That's all he was interested in doing. Verse 10 says, Goliath says, "I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. The message says they were terrified and they lost all hope. I would imagine the soldiers were hiding behind each other thinking, man, I hope you don't look in my direction. And maybe thinking, well, Saul, you're the king. Get on out there and fight this guy. Verse 12. Now David was the son of the Ephrathite of Bethlehem. And Jesse, who had 8 sons, and the man was old and advanced in years. In the days of Saul, Jesse had 8 sons. You're probably thinking, well, if one goes out to fight, he won't miss them. Verse 13, the 3 oldest sons of Jesse had gone to follow Saul to the battle. The names of his 3 sons who went to the battle were Eliab, the firstborn, next to him Abinadab, and the third Shammah. David was the youngest, and the 3 oldest followed Saul. But David occasionally went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the Philistine drew near and presented himself 40 days, morning and evening. So for 40 days this had been going on. That's over a month. That's got to be getting old. Over a month, morning, evening, this guy had come out and make these challenging words to these people. That's over 80 times. And I'm sure he was coming out and doing some trash talking, and we don't even know the full amount of slurs that he was throwing out toward the Israelite army. And if Saul had any pride at all at being king, what do you think he was doing? Don't you think he was just cringing? Every time that guy would come out, Saul was just thinking, oh no, here he is again. And in those days, they didn't have the modern warfare like we do today. So they couldn't from long range do anything about this guy. And he probably knew just how far out to get so that the spears and the arrows and things like that couldn't hurt him. So he was probably fairly close. And he was hollering all these insults at him. And they were listening to him twice a day trash talk him. Verse 17. Jesse said to his son David, take for your brothers an ephah of this dried grain and these 10 loaves, and run to your brothers at the camp. Carry these 10 cheeses to the captain of their thousand. See how your brothers fare, and bring back news of them. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. So David rose early in the morning. He left the sheep with a keeper. He took the things and went as Jesse had commanded him. He came to the camp of the army that was going out to fight and shouting for battle. So maybe there were some minor skirmishes going on, don't really know. But anyway, he shows up there at the camp, verse 22. He takes the supplies, he gives them to the keeper, and then starts inquiring as to what's going on. And here's a new guy coming to camp. So the men of Israel, verse 25, have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel, and it shall be the man who kills him, the king will enrich with great riches. And they tell him all this stuff that's bound to happen, all this good stuff to the guy that's able to fight with Goliath and win. Let's drop down to verse 28. Now Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men. And when David was talking to these guys, and Eliab's anger was aroused against David, and he said, why'd you come down here? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and the insolence of your heart, for you've come down to see the battle. And David said, what have I done now? Is there not a cause? Then he turned from him toward another and said the same thing, and these people answered him as the first ones did. Now get a glimpse of this picture that's going on. David greets his brothers, he talks to the people, and they're having a conversation until Goliath comes out and starts this tirade that he's been doing twice a day for 40 days. And notice now David's brothers' reaction to David. And I think it's no accident that it's David's oldest brother that has this reaction. It's not one of the other brothers, it's the oldest brother. Why do you think it's his oldest brother that reacts badly toward David? You think maybe he was thinking, here's my little brother, he comes up here and he's making these inquiries and he's acting like he's going to take over this situation. I'm the oldest brother. If anybody's going to do anything, it ought to be me. And he's probably thinking, but I ain't going out there. So what would be the best thing he could do? Cast dispersion on his little brother. And that's exactly what it looks like he's doing. Maybe Eliab felt a little guilty. David's saying, who is this guy that's defying the armies of the living God? David is talking about a guy that's full of faith. And what's Eliab doing? He's been doing it for over a month. Hiding. Hoping they don't look in his direction. Now what does he do to David? He asks him several questions. Why'd you come down here? What are you doing here anyway? So first off, he questions his motives. And then what does he do? With whom have you left? And he didn't just say the sheep. He said those few sheep. Those few sheep. With whom did you leave those few sheep? So he questions David's position in life. He demeans his job. He tries to make him look small in front of the other people. Then what does he do? He questions his character as a person, or tries to. I know your pride and the insolence of your heart. You come down here to see the battle. What does that sound like? You're a gawker. You're just coming down here to see the spectacle. You think there's a show going on here and you just come to see the show. You're not really here for any good motives. And of course, he didn't know the heart of David. You know, that's what the world does a lot of times to us as Christians when we try to do good things. What do? First off, they question your motives. Second off, they question your position in life. They try to demean you and make fun of you. And then thirdly, they question your character or lack thereof. That's what the world does. And that's what they did to David. But a few more things that we can pull from this stuff. Verse 31. Now when the words which David spoke were heard, they reported them to Saul, and Saul sent for David. Don't you know he did? Saul finds out, hey, there's somebody here in camp talking about going against this Goliath. Saul says, bring him here. I want to talk to this guy. Saul was looking for anyone. Verse 32. Now David's in front of Saul at this point. He says to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul's thinking, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Saul says to David, but he sees that he's just a kid. He says, you're not able to go against this Philistine and fight with him. You're a youth, and he's a man of war from his youth. David says to Saul, your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lion or bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth, and when it arose against me, I caught it by his beard and struck it. Your servants killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. Moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to him, David, go and the Lord be with you. Now, at this point, I am surprised that Saul said this to David. At first, Saul's common sense prevailed, and he said, you can't do this. You're just a kid. But there was something about this young man's confidence that made an impression on Saul. We don't know if it was Saul's fear or David's complete and utter confidence or what, but Saul was persuaded. And remember, there's a lot at stake here. Remember what's at stake? If the Israelites lost, they became servants of these Philistines. That's a lot at stake. If I was one of the generals and saw this little transaction going on, I might have been tempted to think, you mean I'm going to have to become a servant if this kid loses to Goliath? I don't think I can beat this Philistine, but I ain't going to leave it to Beaver go out here and try to fight with him. You know, we got to do something. One of you guys volunteer. Man, I don't want to do it, but I'll volunteer before I leave it to Beaver go out here and do this. You know, come on, Saul. Are you crazy? And maybe Saul asked for some kind of demonstration from David. We don't know. Then verse 38, Saul's going to try to give him some kind of advantage or help him in some way. So what does he do? He puts his armor on David. Now, Saul was a big man. We know that. I think one passage of Scripture said he stood head and shoulders above people. And I kind of got the mental picture of maybe putting his helmet on his head, and his helmet comes down over his eyes, and maybe he puts his coat of armor on, and it's kind of like this, you know, and David's trying to walk, and he says, I haven't tested this stuff. I can't use this, you know. Take this stuff off.
Verse 40.
He took his staff in his hand. David chose himself 5 smooth stones from the brook. He put them in his shepherd's bag. Put them in a pouch that he had. He took his sling in his hand and he drew near to the Philistine. The Philistine came and began drawing near to David. The man who bore the shield went before him. He's got his shield bearer there. When the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good looking. He disdained him. This Philistine, Goliath, probably looked out there, and you know, at first he was a ways out there. You know, when you're a long way out there, like I worked in the control tower before, and airplanes look only about this big. You know, so Goliath probably looked, and David was little. As they got closer, he's thinking, let me get my glasses on here. Oh, you've got to be kidding me. You have got to be kidding. There is no way. The contemporary English version says when Goliath saw that David was just a healthy, good-looking boy, he made fun of him. He made fun of him. Verse 43, the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine said to David, come to me and I'll give your flesh to the birds and the beasts of the field. Now that's a big insult in those days. I don't know what would compare with it today, but in those days, that was a big insult. So Goliath starts trash talking him. David says to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and a spear and a javelin. I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. And David tells him that he is coming to him and the name of God. And he says, all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with spear and sword, for the battle is the Lord, and he will give you into our hands. I'm sure Goliath almost probably died of a heart attack from laughing at David. He said, of course, David had his staff here, and Goliath says, what am I, a dog? You're going to hit me with your stick? And he cursed at him. He was cussing at David and saying all kinds of things. And when he says that he's going to feed his carcass to the birds and the beasts of the field, he meant that he disdained him so bad as an enemy that he wouldn't even take the time to bury his dead body. That's how much he despised him or disdained him. Lack of respect. Verse 48. The Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David. David hurried and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. David put his hand into the stones. He slung his slingshot. He hit him in the forehead, and Goliath fell to the face of the earth. David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling, a stone, and struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood over the Philistine. He took his sword and drew it out of the sheath and killed him and cut off his head with it. And the Philistine army, when they saw this happen, they took off running. They ran, and the Israelite army chased them. Verse 54, David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem, and he put his armor in his tent. When Saul saw David going out against the Philistine, he said to Abner, the commander of the army, Abner, whose son is this youth? Abner said, as your soul lives, O king, I do not know. So the king said, inquire whose son this young man is. And David answered him that, verse 58, I am the son of your servant Jesse the Bethlehemite. So this giant that was skilled in warfare was killed by a boy with no armor, using only a slingshot, and he cut the giant's head off with his own sword for defying the armies of the living God. For a champion skilled in warfare to lose his head with his own sword is, I mean, that is something that is just so, so amazing. This morning, We're going to conclude with four lessons I want you to take with you. Number one, if David was afraid, he didn't show it. There's no indication in this entire account that David was afraid. Here he was, a kid. This guy was almost 10 feet tall. And I don't know how big David was. He wasn't afraid. What kind of faith, what kind of feeling, what produces a confidence like that? He was bigger than his fears. And when it comes to doing good, I think this lesson from the Old Testament teaches us that if he can do that, then surely we today ought to be bigger than our fears when it comes to doing good. You know, Jesus told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And sometimes we can't even share the good news with someone that we know and love. Be bigger than our fears. Number two, the size of the challenge did not affect David's faith. That was a big challenge. That was a big challenge. Remember, he brought bread and cheese to the army. If I'd have been David, I would have said, you know what? I'm just here to bring you guys some cheese sandwiches. I'm out of here. You know, I've got, like you, my big brother said, I've got a few sheep I've got to take care of. I am gone. Brought you some cheese sandwiches. I've got some sheep I've got to take care of. Y'all have a good day. Good luck with the big guy. Catch you later. Okay? But that's not what David did. The size of the challenge did not affect David's faith. That was a big challenge. There was an entire army out there. There was a king out there that had been experienced in warfare. And David took on that challenge. That's number two. Number three, David made use of what was available. Yeah, sure, that armor was available, but David wasn't used to it. He realized, I can't use this. I mean, I haven't tested it. I'm not used to this. There was things that he was used to. He said he had killed a bear. And it's kind of like that joke, you know, those two guys, and that one guy's putting his running shoes on, the bear was coming, you know, and he said, you can't outrun a bear. He said, I don't have to outrun a bear, I just could outrun you. And it was a situation where they ran from the bear. David didn't run from the bear. He said he slew the bear. You know, I would have choked that bear to death with heel dust. So it was a situation where David had experience, and he used what was available, those five stones that was available. He didn't make excuses. He didn't say, you know what? Dad just sent me here to give you guys, like I said before, the cheese sandwiches, I'm gone. I didn't come to tangle with a giant military warrior. He made use of what was available. Make use of what you have available. You know what? You have the Bible available. You have your faith. You have a church behind you. You have plenty available, every single one of you. You have people that will help you share the gospel if you need it. Fourthly, David had faith. He never once expressed doubt that he might not get the job done with God's help. David had faith. The disciples, when they were talking to Jesus, they said, Lord, increase our faith. David was full of faith. He was a great man. Loved to read about David. He had faith. In this particular occurrence, he never once expressed doubt. He had great faith as a young man. Those four lessons, and more. You probably picked up some other ideas as we went through this account. This morning, this has mostly been a lesson to build our faith and to encourage us. And when you feel your spirit's kind of lagging a little bit, go to this account. I love it. I love it. There's so much, and there's probably a lot more that you can pull from this account and to be encouraged by it. If you've been studying, you need to respond to the gospel. We encourage you there. If you need the prayers of the church, we offer this invitation as we stand and sing.